Well, boy, wasn't that a fantastic set of music to just sort of turn our attention to God. That was incredible. Loved it. Enjoyed it greatly. You just saw an announcement come up on the screen, on your screen. And, you know, things have sort of prolonged a little bit into the spring here with us being not able to gather. So we want to encourage you to get a hold of Alina, Bryce, the church email, and register. You know, let them know you want to be involved in that Bible study online starting next, not this Wednesday, but the next one. And, you know, I encourage you, we need to connect. We need to gather in some form or fashion, and we need the Word of God invested in our lives in a greater measure. So take advantage of that. Take part in that. It's going to be awesome. Another thing real quick, if you are mentally, emotionally, you're just physically, you're just tired, you're weary, you know, it's so time to get through it and over it. If you're feeling that way and you could use some support, I'm also going to begin a support group to help people that really could use some, you know, just some wellness and some wholeness in their life. And you can get a hold of me and ask me questions about that, but you'll hear more about it later. I'll send an email out. But anyway, we need to more and more support each other and be together in this ongoing battle. But it belongs to the Lord, and he wins. So that's good. Oh, God is good. You know, I had my sermon notes yesterday. I was in the building. I put them in the back of the building here on my chair. And I opened them this morning to preview them and bring them up to the music stand. And at the very beginning of my notes, somebody had handwritten between yesterday and today, "I love you, Pastor Rich." So how does that not excite you about getting ready to preach? And I want to thank that person. I think I know who it was, but I could be wrong. But thank you so much. It's important to know that we're loved. You know, I am so excited. I feel so blessed. You know that God is alive. He's not dead. He's not sleeping. He's alive. It's something to be excited about. And the fact that we get to gather together this morning this way is awesome. It's amazing. You all get to see me, but I don't really get to see you out there. But it's exciting that we're actually together. And you know, I've been able to, in the last 2 weeks, touch base with a lot of your homes and people. If you have not heard from me in the last 2 weeks, there's something wrong with my computer list, and you need to get a hold of me today or tomorrow. And you know, let me know. But, you know, it's been exciting that I've been able to connect with you in a lot of ways. I've fashioned a prayer journal. I'm beginning to pray for things that you've asked me to pray for. And I'm going to continue that over the next month, just persevering more and more in prayer for you, that God will begin to give you victory. And just see your life just enthused with the Holy Spirit in the next while. And did I mention, God is alive! You know, Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10, just a few moments this morning. You know, I'm almost through Psalm 34. I think next Sunday is the scheduling, is my last text in Psalm 34, unless God says something different. But verses 9 and 10 say this: "O fear the Lord, you his saints." We sang that today. "For to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." Fear the Lord. You know, it's a frequent command that is given to us throughout the Old Testament and in a different way, in a sense, in the New Testament. But it's very frequent, and there's this broad command to fear the Lord or fear God. And it really comes down to us understanding a few things about what it means to fear the Lord. You see, what it means is this relationship with God and understanding who God is. That's really what faith is in a lot of ways, our journey every day, isn't it? It's trying to figure out and understand and know God in a deeper and a broader way, more and more and more. It's getting to know him and understanding in that knowledge of who he really is. that God really is God of the universe, omnipresent, omnipowerful. He is all things, and he is eternal, and you cannot compare, and I cannot compare myself to him because he is God. But you've also got to understand, if you're going to know about fearing the Lord, you've got to understand who you are in him. You see, it's important to know who God is, and vital and the most important thing ever we will ever know and do. But we've got to understand who we are in context to him. We are his creation, and we've sinned. And God in his mercy and his grace called out to us. And without Jesus and without his work and redeeming work in our lives, we would be separated from God for eternity. So we understand that we are people who have been called back into relationship with him. We are people that he loves. We are people that he treasures and wants to do great things in our lives and through our lives. But we got to understand that God is God, and we are his children. And we ought to honor God as a father. We ought to honor God as a child, as is to his parents. Boy, it's amazing that we can gain an understanding and a deeper understanding of who God is every day of our lives. I want to read to you from Proverbs chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And can you just listen to the words of Solomon here? And it's just, I love this passage as he talks about this. He says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you will seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." That's powerful. That's powerful. If we will seek God and we'll look for wisdom and for him, we'll find him. It's that verse in the New Testament where Jesus taught us to ask, to seek, to knock. You know, because if we ask, they'll answer. If we seek, he's going to come to us. And if we knock, he's going to open. God will always approach us more deeply when we approach him. There's things that we need to know about the fear of the Lord as well. You know, that we've got to understand that God is loving, but he's also just. You know, God loves you, and God loves me. But we've got to understand that a loving God is also a just God. And we've got to know and recognize that, yes, he loves us and is merciful and forgiving, but he's also holy and just and righteous. And knowing God and understanding his character means that I accept the fact that his justice and his holiness, his purity, his perfection, his completeness of character, his separation from evil causes him to judge sin. And I need to confront my sin before a holy God. And I need to deal with my sin before a holy God, because God is so much higher than me and so holy and pure than me. You know, Hebrews 10:31 says, "It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." You see, I've got to have a healthy fear and reverence of God and understand that there are things about God that I need to be afraid of. You know, I need to have a healthy afraidness in my spirit if I'm going to truly fear the Lord and understand that I cannot stay in my sin. I've got to come before him and know that Jesus died for my sin and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And without him and without that cleansing of his blood, that I will be separated from God forever, because a loving God has made a way through Jesus for me not to die in my sin. And I've got to understand that I have to deal with it, that there is a God of justice before me. Matthew 10:28, maybe one of the most incredible scriptures that you and I need to really confront. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's very sobering, isn't it? But when I understand the love of God, I also understand that he made a way for my sin. and I have to do something. I can't just sit back and just go into eternity without dealing with my sin, because a just God cannot dwell with me for eternity in my sin. If we're going to truly fear the Lord, we've got to understand that our soul, our eternity, our eternal value and hope is found in Him, a just God. It's not good enough to just know that God loves me. I have to know what that means, and I have to abide by His commandments. The fear of the Lord always produces faith in us. You see, true fear of the Lord causes us to place our faith, our trust in Him alone for our salvation and for our very lives. The fear of the Lord produces awe in us. You see, it's an awe of understanding and recognizing how holy and pure He is. And being in awe of that. And it was so easy this morning. I don't know about in your living room, but in the building here, as we sang these songs, it was so easy to be drawn into that throne room of God and grace and understand this amazing God, and to be able to end it with our hands raised and to say, how great is our God. And the name above all names. You see, a healthy fear of the Lord brings us to that place of awe, of reverence, of honor to God, who deserves all of our glory, all of our praise. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, and let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, it's amazing that when we fear the Lord, we begin to see and understand and appreciate who He is in all His glory and His holiness and His purity. And we become reverent before Him and humble before Him and in awe of this amazing God. You see, we learn obedience through a fear of the Lord. If we truly fear Him, we'll obey His commandments and living according to His word and be able to say no to sin. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your soul. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be your holy yourselves, also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, and in that obedience, we grow in this big Christianese word of sanctification. Really what that means is that we're ongoingly learning how to live righteously and godly in this life. We're becoming like Jesus. We're taking on Him and His character, and we're losing the world and the flesh in our lives. That ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And the fear of the Lord is transforming. And it has the ability to purify us and spiritually mature us and affect our lives so that we constantly are becoming more like Jesus. And the fear of the Lord has an effect on us that lasts forever, and it continually changes and transforms us till that day when we see Jesus face to face. Philippians 1:6, He who began a good work in you will complete it on that day. I love that God doesn't leave us or forsake us. He walks with us and journeys with us. And you know, another thing that fear of the Lord does is it helps us to teach our children. It's so important that we should not only affect or fear the Lord and have it affect our individual lives, but it should affect all of us, the families that we have. You know, God always instructed His followers to teach their children to fear Him by training them in righteousness. And the Bible often states also that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, if you apply that to what God has called for the family, that as parents we would invest in our children and teach them what it means to fear the Lord. We begin that journey with them when they're young, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. You put all of this together, and it's important that the fear of the Lord is passed on to our children when they're young. You know, it's easy for us to send them off to school for 12, 13, 14 years and say, let the school ground, let that dictate how they're shaped and they're formed. But that's not how God wants it. God wants us to invest in our children and teach them what it means to fear Him and honor Him and know His presence in their life and to know the Holy Spirit working in them and growing in them and helping them and being with them all the days of their life, so that when they go to the school ground, they know the difference between righteousness and unholiness. Somehow we've lost a bit of that, where we've sort of left our children's well-being to the school ground and to the television. We need to teach them when they're young to fear God and to know God.
You know, the fear of the Lord and applying it to our family teaches us to love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, our strength.
You know, it teaches us what all means. It's all encompassing in our lives and in our homes, in our church family. You know, we worship God wholeheartedly, and that's what the fear of the Lord does. It gives us the ability and motivates us to worship Him with our whole being, to truly give Him day by day more of us. You know, I sort of look at it this way. You know, when we sing or we talk about or we read about all, we give all to God. You know, I look at it this way. Sometimes I think when I'm singing that, "Lord God, I don't know if I've given you all." But in my mind, it's the ability to be in a position where I love God so much that I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to give more and more as I go along, because we know we're not done. So all to me is having a heart that really does want to be transformed and changed and allow God to continually work in my life so that I'm not holding back what He desires to do in and through me. You know, the good stuff is that there's a reward for fearing the Lord. You know, eternal life. You know, we fear the Lord, we get eternal life. We'll never die. Our soul will carry on forever. That's an impressive promise, is it not? A great reward. But in this life, there's also things like security and protection and provision. And the ability for God to just sort of blossom our lives into something great. Are we confident in the Lord today? Do we fear the Lord in a way that we have confidence in Him? You know, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And the fear of the Lord in the New Testament is linked together with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Because we have been given the Holy Spirit, God, the third person in our lives, to teach us what it means to fear the Lord. And He comes alongside us to comfort us and guide us and lead us into truth and lead us into righteousness. Acts 9:31, about the early church, it said the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Allowing the Holy Spirit to be involved in our lives. You know, Psalm 23 applies into this verse 34, Psalm 34, 9 and 10. They tie in together. And the language is the same when it comes to the fact that, you know, He says if you fear Him, you're going to have no want. Or if you fear Him, you're not going to be in want of any good thing. And Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And verse 10 and Psalm 23, verse 1 is the same word in the Hebrew for want. And really it means to lack or need or be lacking or decrease. You know, if we entrust ourselves to God and we fear Him properly and we begin to understand that God is going to take care of our lives, and even when it seems like we're going through a rough time and maybe there's just not enough money in the bank at the moment and we're struggling through some stuff or there's some relational things or other things and we go, "God, are you really here?" You know, it's at those times we realize that the valley of the shadow of death that God is with us. God has promised to be with us, and when we trust our very lives with Him, we will have, if you really want to translate that into simplicity, want means to lack what one needs. If we're in God, God will take care of our needs. And God will be with us. The Lord is a shepherd. He cares for us. He provides for us. He guides us. He protects us, both corporately and individually. You know, there's a depth and a strength to fearing the Lord and understanding that my life has been in faith given and entrusted to Him. And God is ongoingly creating a relationship with Him in my life. And it breeds contentment in my life. You see, it breeds contentment when I understand that God is my all in all and He provides for my needs. You see, I understand that in this world, and you know this as well as I do, we're not hidden from this, but it seems like our life just seems, the North American culture, it's the thing that we have to accumulate stuff. And it's never enough. We just continually accumulate stuff. We've got clutter. You know, you open a closet here, a cupboard here, you put in a shed in the backyard and it's full, and then you have to get some more stuff. And there's this continual storage problem we have. But in this life, if we would just fear the Lord, just yield our lives to Him and allow the Lord to lead us and guide us, then that peace that passes all understanding will come in and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and guard our spirit. And then we will understand that we have everything we need when we're in deep relationship with Him and we fear the Lord. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." So whether, you know, we're abounding in our savings account or we're just getting by, we learn that whatever it is, that we have enough when we're in tight relationship with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That's why we learn gratitude. That's why we learn to give thanks ongoingly, because it helps us to keep our perspective that everything comes from the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment." It's having an eternal perspective. You know, I'm just passing through this life, and yeah, God has given me the life to be full of joy and to be blessed by this life. But understanding that I can surrender to God and have a fear of Him and allow Him to use my life for His kingdom, for His glory. Psalm 34, verse 9 again, folks. "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For to those who fear Him, there is no want." Don't have to strive for anything. We are comfortable and at rest in a relationship with Him. We need the Holy Spirit to help us fear the Lord, to know and to love Jesus with all our heart. And God, today I pray for every person that's watching. God, those in the room, myself included. God, we are together. We are unified by the fact that we are together sharing this morning. And Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you. I'm asking you to speak into each of our hearts. And over this next few moments and throughout this week, don't let us go. Would you just continue to prompt us to know what it would really mean right now to take a step forward in fearing the Lord. Teach us that, what it would mean for each of us as individuals. And God, in our lives, in our homes, with our families, continue to help us to continually share Christ with one another. God, not to make You a piece or a part of our home or our life, but to invite You in fully. That's truly the fear of the Lord. And God, thank You that You are taking us through this journey and You will complete the work You've begun in our lives. Thank You so much. And thank You for the promise of eternity that we will live forever with You. God, thank You. We bless and we honor You, God. You are wonderful. You're an amazing God. Far above. Praise. Glory to Your name, God, above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. just a tail end here. You know how in sporting events and government things, you get together, you sing an anthem, you sing, oh, you know, Canada. And this morning, as we recognize the fear of the Lord and we recognize who God is and who we are in Him, we're going to sing an anthem together and just to let Jesus know how much we love Him. I love you, church, and have a great week. Be blessed. God be with you.
Pastor Rich brought us such a great word on the fear of the Lord and how that looks and manifests in our life and how to walk that out practically. Then he touched on parenting. And as a next-gen pastor, I guess that's my title, I kind of got to jump on like whatever opportunities I have to just give a little bit of a plug. I love students. We love students here. We want to be a church that ministers to students. And in the last couple weeks for preteens, so grade 5, 6, and 7, we've been going over just some like basic apologetics, looking at the questions of like, is there logically evidence for the existence of God? And if God is the creator, well, who created him? And if he's so good, why do bad things happen? And don't all religions just give us a set of morals to live by? How do we know we can trust what the Bible says and is true? And did Jesus really die on the cross and then rise again? And I think these are big questions. There's no perfect answer, but it's learning to like talk about our doubts and put words to these thoughts, because the Bible tells us to give an answer for the hope that we have. So if you're a parent and you don't know how to like wrestle with these questions and you don't know how to answer them for yourself, I would challenge you. Find the answers. Reach out to me, reach out to Pastor Rich, reach out to someone else. The ability to have conversations in our homes about things that we often feel are taboo or would like discredit the Bible, that fear is invalid. That fear is a lie. So being able to have these conversations with young people and training them up and saying, some of these questions aren't going to have an answer. Here's what we know. Here's what we believe. And then we just ask for faith. And some of them do have an answer. Some of the questions that our culture and society are asking around sexuality, the Bible is full of the answer. It's whether or not we're comfortable talking about it. I can tell you right now, I have become very comfortable with being uncomfortable. We talk about all sorts of things in youth. There's nothing that's taboo. You want to talk about porn and sexuality and transgender issues. If you want to talk about finances and prayer and discipleship, that's okay, because we got to train up our young people. But I also think there's a gap where we need to train up ourselves to have these discussions. And so I read something. So whether you're a parent or not, if you are a believer, I would say this week, write down the top 2 questions that you are afraid someone will ask you about what you believe, about your faith, whatever they are. Like, if someone came up to you and asked you something specific about your faith, and you would just be paralyzed because you don't know how to answer, or you're not comfortable, or you're not sure yourself, start there. Wrestle with those. Ask God, ask His Spirit to just give you wisdom where to look to believe it. And just build on that. Because we can have programs in our church or ministries in our church for young people, but you guys at home have so much more time. And we just want to like help you. We just want to invest alongside you. We don't want you to outsource any of your discipleship in your home to us. We just want to like help and aid and give space, because sometimes you don't want to ask your parents stuff. That's cool. We get that. So yeah, I just, you know, wanted to challenge you with that and the practical side of, you know, we're talking about these things. So if they come up, don't be surprised. But look into them for yourself too, because God gives us wisdom and He gives us faith and His Spirit is with us and He's bigger than our doubt. Way bigger. So God, we thank you for the young people who are associated with this church, this local family. God, we ask that your truth would be implanted in their lives, their hearts, and their minds, that you would just water that. That, God, we wouldn't be a church that has a ministry for young people. We would be a church that ministers to young people, that we would help support parents. God, that we would be excited to serve our young people. God, whether they can't talk and can barely walk, God, to the number of students we have graduating this year and entering adulthood, God, help us to love them well. And by doing that, Lord, first and foremost, we have to know you for ourselves. We have to disciple ourselves. We have to have these conversations with you and with others and get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And God, we just ask that you would be blessed, that you would be glorified, God, that we would be a light to children, to youth, to preteens, to families. God, that we would help see and help be a part of the next generation who loves you, instead of a generation walking away because no one will tell them the truth. God, break us for what you long for. Thank you, Jesus, that you cared about children when you walked the earth, and that you care about them now. Help us to be a part of that. In your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed.